In the Haftarah to Parshas Korach, which is taken from Perek Yud Beis in Shmuel Aleph, we find that Shmuel presents a seeming ambivalence toward that which he had already done, namely appointed King Shaul over Klal Yisrael. In Pasuk Yud Beis, we find, "Vatiru ki nachosh melech bnei amon bo aleichem, vatomru li lo ki melech imloch aleinu, vashem elokechem malkechem." And when you saw that the king of Ammon was warring against you, so you insisted to appoint a king. But Hashem is your king, seemingly rebuking Klal Yisrael for the choice of having a king, as if that is a merida, some kind of rebellion against Hashem's kingdom over them. But then the pasuk continues, "Vata hine amelech asher bechartem asher shaltem, v'hine nasana Hashem aleichem melech." Here is the king that you have chosen, that you have asked for, and Hashem has given it to you. Then the psukim continue in Pasuk Yudalid and Tezvav, that if you fear Hashem and you serve Him properly and you listen to His voice and don't rebel against Him, so you and your king will follow Hashem Yisbarach, and then implicitly everything will go well. And the next pasuk says that if you disobey HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, then Hashem Chalila will punish you. So we have this ambivalence on the one hand, that they seemingly sinned by rebelling against Hashem's kingdom by asking for a king, but Shmuel Hanavi says, well, here is the king that you asked for. And then Shmuel says that if you follow Hashem, it'll be great for you and your king, and if not, not. Then later on, Shmuel shows a heavenly sign to indicate the divine disfavor for their asking for a king, and he makes it rain in the middle of the wheat harvest season, just ruining the wheat crop. Klal Yisrael are frightened, and they said, we sinned by asking for a king, and please daven for us. And then Shmuel again repeats, in Pasuk Chof, Vayomer Shmuel Ha'am Al Tiro, Atem Masisem Eitz Kol Ra Azos, Ach Al Tasuru Mecharei Hashem Vavaretem Es Hashem B'chol Avavchem. Don't be afraid. On the one hand, you acted improperly by asking for a king, but don't stray after Hashem and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then again, implicitly, Shmuel is implying that all will be well, ending in Pasuk Chof Bet, Ki Lo Yitosh Hashem Es Amo, Hashem will not abandon His people, Vavur Shmo Gadol, Ki Yo'il Hashem Lasos Eschem Lo La'am, because Hashem has desired and chosen you as His nation. Then after that's the end of the Haftarah and Pasuk Chof Hei. So Shmuel HaNavi warns them again, V'mharei atareyu, that if you will act in an evil way, gam atem gam malkechem tisafu, that you and your king will all perish. This presentation and the seeming ambivalence between whether it was okay for them to ask for a king or not okay for them to ask for a king is also evident in an earlier parak where they actually ask for the king. There we find Perek Ches, Vayomru Elov, Hinei Ata Zakanta, Vanecha Lo Ochul B'Derchecha, you're getting older, your children are walking in your ways, Ata Sima Lonu Melech L'Shavteinu K'chol HaGoyim, Klal Yisrael ask for a king to judge us like all the other nations. And here we have a Yera Dover Bein Shmuel. It was very evil in the eyes of Shmuel. Kasha Amru Tno Lanu Melech L'Shavteinu, Vayispalel Shmuel Hashem, he davens to Hashem. And then Hashem gives a very curious answer in Pasuk Zayin there in Perek Ches. Vayomer Hashem El Shmuel, Shma V'kol Ha'am, listen to the people, L'chol Asher Yomer Elecha, to everything they ask of you. Sounds like that it was okay what they asked. And then Hashem continues, Ki Lo Oscha Ma'osu, Ki Osim Ma'osu Mimloch Aleihem, because it is not you who they despise as being their leader, but it is me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they despise from being their king, which of course is directly echoed by Shmuel's words in Perek Yud Beis, the Haftorah of Parshas Korach, V'Hashem Elokechem Malkechem. And then Hashem continues to say that they are continuing in their wily ways from the time they had left Mitzrayim. They have abandoned me and they're serving other gods. And the same way they're doing to me, they're doing to you. And then Hashem continues in Pasuk Tes, V'Atah Shema Bekolam, listen to what they're saying. Ach ki ha'ei ta'idbam, warn them, v'gadat alehem mishpat ha'melech ha'shem iloch alehem, concerning the rules of the king, or according to another interpretation, the corruptions that the king might bring about. So the whole episode of their asking for the king and Hashem's response and Shmuel's subsequent summary of it as he's, so to speak, signing off in his leadership role is very curious, because if they were asking for something sinful, then Hashem shouldn't have agreed. If Klal Yisrael Chalila would ask for an Avodah Zarah, would Hashem say yes? If Klal Yisrael asked for permission to be Mechal Shabbos, would Hashem say yes? And here Hashem consents to the appointment of a king, and yet tell Shmuel, don't worry, it's not you they despise, it's me who they despise. And the same thing when Shmuel summarizes, it says, you've despised Hashem, Hashem Elokechem Malkechem, and then Shmuel says, but if you act properly, Hashem will be with you and the king, and if not, not. We're certainly not going to say that concerning some sin that some other sin that Klal Yisrael will engage in, where Hashem's going to say, "Well, as long as you do all the other mitzvos, even if you do this sin, I'll still be with you." Very unusual. The Malbim enlightens our eyes in explaining exactly the nature of the sin in asking for a king. He quotes Chazal, who say that they asked for a king not at the right time, and the Malbim interprets as follows. And this is a theme that you find in the Malbim's thought throughout his commentary on Chumash as well as Nevi'im. That there are two ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. There's what the Malbim calls the Hanhaga Nisit, a supernatural overseeing of human affairs or Jewish affairs, and the Hanhaga Tiviyit, and the natural overseeing of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always in control of the world. The question is, how does he run it? Does he run it through the mask of nature, of Olam, from the language of Ne'alam, of hiddenness, where it seems as if there are rules of nature that have nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but yet Hashem is always managing that, Meitzitz min acharakim, as the Psukim in Shir HaShirim state, peeking between the slats, so to speak, of the window shade. Or is Hashem running it with more open divine providence, what the Malbim calls Hanhaga HaNisiyit, the supernatural intervention in the world? Of course, the era in which that was most manifest was the era of the Midbar, where food came min HaShamayim, water came miraculously from the rock. Torah was directly taught by Moshe Rabbeinu, received directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together with the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory, and the Esh Laila, the pillar of fire, where it was clear and evident that Hashem was supernaturally protecting and guiding the Jewish people. The Malbim writes that as long as there was a man of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a man of God, a prophet such as of the caliber of Shmuel, who was around, so the model of Hanaga Nisiyit was the norm. The victories over the enemies of Klal Yisrael would take place on a miraculous level, as indeed happened in the days of Shmuel. But on the other hand, for the nations of the world, there the Hanaga Tiviyit would be the norm, the natural overseeing of the world would be the way in which Hashem would conduct their affairs. And so too, unfortunately, concerning Klal Yisrael, when they stray from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and no longer deserve the Hanhaga Nisiyit, then Hashem will deal with them as well in Hanhaga Tiviyit. That's something that comes up, of course, again and again in the Tochacha, especially in the phraseology of Parshas B'chukosai, where Hashem says, "Im telchu imi b'keri, af ani eleich imachem b'chamas keri." That if you follow the model of just the natural, the keri, the mikra, the happenstance, so I too will only guide you within the order of nature, which of course will lead to much greater Jewish tragedy. The Jews, by asking for a king and saying, L'shefteinu k'chol ha-goyim, according to one understanding of the Malbim, is that they were asking for Hanhaga Tiviyit. Enough with the miracles, because the miraculous conduct could be, as the expression goes, Aliyah v'kotzba. Could be like a juicy steak, but also has a thorn in it. Or like a bee that has honey, but also has a stinger. As the expression goes, Omrim Litzira, they tell the wasp, don't want your honey and we don't want your stinger. So to speak, they think this is the language that the Malbim uses elsewhere, not particularly here, that Klal Yisrael was saying that if we're going to be on this high level of Hanaga Nisiyit, that'll lead to great salvation, but on the other hand, could lead to enormous punishment, as has happened in the Midbar, with very frequent plagues when Klal Yisrael acted improperly. So Klal Yisrael say, L'shefteinu k'chol ha-goyim, let's operate based on the regular rules of nature. Let us win our wars, not based on whether or not we follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, if we don't follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Let's win our wars based on the quality of our soldiers and the number of our soldiers and the technology of our tanks and our air force. And both for good or for bad, we'll win or lose based on our own might and our own conduct of these affairs, not based on whether we follow the Torah or not, not based on Hashgacha Nisiyit. And to that Hashem says, as we mentioned earlier, and his faithful servant summarizes later, Lo oscha ma'osu, ki osi ma'osim im lo chaleim. They're not interested in this intense, intimate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they'd rather just operate based on the regular rules of nature. Of course, even under those circumstances, Hashem is really behind the scenes, but Klal Yisrael are asking for them, they themselves, to run their affairs, which Shmuel then summarizes later as, Hashem Elokechem Malkechem. He is the one who wants to engage in this very close connection to you of Hashgacha Nisiyit. A fascinating modern insight that I found very refreshing in terms of all that has been said about attitudes toward the current day state of Israel, Medinat Yisrael, appears in the writings of Rav Sternbuch in the name of his great Rebbe, the Brisker Rav, Rav Elvel Soloveitchik. Of course, many other approaches have been taken from the one we're going to present now, including by Rav Elvel's famous nephew, Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik Zatzal, associated with our yeshiva, Yeshiva University, Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yisrael Chanan. But here we present fascinating insights from the uncle. Rav Sternbuch writes in his Tshuvas Vanhagos, Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Mem, writing notes that he had heard from Rav Elvel's son, the other Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik from Brisk in Eretz Yisrael, that the Brisker Rav mentioned that one of the sinful aspects of the foundation of the State of Israel, which led to his great opposition, especially prominent in 1936 in Tafresh Tzadivav, when there was an Agudas Yisrael convention, and Brisker Rav had expressed his vehement opposition to a full Medina, even a half a Medina, when they were debating the partition plan at that point, whether the Jewish people should accept it or not. So he said that the sin of Medinat Yisrael is similar to the sin of asking for a king. And what was that sin? After all, at least according to the Psak, there's a Paskin Chumash, Tzom Tasim Alecha Melech, that's considered a mitzvah and not even just an option. So he explains in a very similar way to the Malbim that they were asking for a king, Kederecha Olam. I'm quoting Rav Sternbuch's notes here. She argain chayalim l'chom neged amon v'yivoshu me'oivehem, that they should be victorious over Amon through natural means, through the army of the king. V'zeh oser el Hashem u'malkom v'hu yoshiyem kifi sheyishmer Torah. Hashem will save them, even if there will be physical soldiers, but it'll be a miraculous salvation in accordance with their keeping of the Torah. V'chein ka'an em darshe medina li natsel mi antishemiyut, v'zeh guf ha'aser, that they want a country in order to save themselves from anti-Semitism, all in a natural way, having nothing to do with shmiras ha'mitzvos. Ki chol anhogas klal Yisrael shelo kederech ha'teva, supposed to be not in accordance with the rules of nature, tluyim rak b'kim ha'torah v'ha'mitzvos, v'lo chas v'shelem medina, and only in accordance with the fulfillment of the Torah mitzvos, and not with some political military structure that
would be founded in order to lead to some kind of salvation of the Jewish people.
That's exactly the sin of a melech. Interestingly, and also spoke about secularism and so on and so forth, that the founding fathers were not exactly Shomri Torah mitzvos, to put it mildly. But this is a fascinating, more subtle objection, that even if it will be run based on Torah leadership, but to run it based on the natural order and not in accordance with how Hashem runs the world and not in accordance with our keeping of Torah mitzvot, was itself a sin. And then he goes further to explain that when Rav Kalmanovitz approached the Brisker Rav and asked him why was he so upset in Tafresh Tzadivav at the Aguda convention about the fact that the majority of the Rabbonim were seemingly in agreement with the foundation of a state, even on a minimal level, after the partition plan had been presented. But the British are not going to listen to the rabbis anyway, so what does it matter whether or not the Rabbonim are agreeing or disagreeing? So to that, the Brisker Rav quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Vav Mer Aleph, where when Yerushalayim was besieged by Sancheirev and his great army, so Chizkiya HaMelech was concerned that one of the officers in his court, Shevna, who was himself a great Talmud Chacham, and actually had more students than Chizkiya HaMelech himself had, and he wanted to make peace with Sancheirev. And Chizkiya was worried that Hashem would follow the Rov, would follow the majority. And Yishaya Navi comes to Yechezkel and tells him, you have nothing to worry about. I will miraculously save the city, and Shevna's ideas will be ignored, even though they're the Rov. Yishaya Navi tells him, Lo somun kesher lechol asher yomar ha'om hazeh kesher. Interpreting the word kesher as not as a rebellion, which I think is the pshuta shel mikra, but kesher as a bond, that this getting together of Shavna and his students wanting to make peace with Sancheirev is not considered a bond, is not considered a meaningful vote. Why? Because kesher is shoyimu. It's the grouping together of evil people. The kesher is shoyim eino min haminyan. It's not counted in the heavenly scheme of things. So the Brisker Rav was medayik, and had it been a kesher tzaddikim, if it was a group of righteous people who decided on a certain course of action for Klal Yisrael's leadership, even if it wasn't the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he would still agree, because that was the will of the Rov of the leadership of Klal Yisrael. So that's what the Briska Rav, that's why I'm worried. Because in my opinion, to found the Medina is a rebellion against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I'm afraid that since the Rabbanim, the majority of the leadership of Jewry, are all consenting, that Hashem will consent reluctantly. Where do we have such a model? Exactly as we said earlier, the Jewish people ask for a king, and Hashem reluctantly consents, even though it was not ideal at all, but he followed the will of the Jewish people, because that was the majority. I wrote in my notes on this, were Klal Yisrael considered a Kesher Rishoyim then for asking for a king or not? Perhaps we could suggest that they were not considered that, and that's why Hashem was maskim. Specifically, concerning the episode of appointing a king, so the Malbim explains that the reason and basis behind Hashem's Haskama was because the fact that Klal Yisrael asked for the king, they wanted to operate based on a model of nature, indicated that they were no longer on the level to be zoche to a hanhagah nesiyit, to a revealed, open, miraculous, divine conduct. And therefore, reluctantly, Hashem consented because that is the level that they were at. And based on that, we could help understand what Shmuel tells them, that if you follow the Torah, Hashem will be with you. That Hashem has not abandoned the Jewish people, and he will guide them whether it's through Hanagah Nisiyit or Hanagah Tiviyit. And even though obviously the first is more direct and more caring and more intimate and more loving, but the second one, Hashem will never abandon the Jewish people. In the words of Shmuel Hanavi at the end of the Haftorah of Parashas Korach, Lo yitosh Hashem esamo bavur shemo gadol, ki hoil Hashem lasos eschen lolam. Hashem will never abandon the Jewish people, and even within the framework of Hanagah Tiviyit, Klal Yisrael will still be guided by Hashem Yisbarach, maybe leading Chalila to more tragic events, but always with Hashem being Metzitz Min HaCharakim and taking care of the Jewish people. Applying that to the model of Medinat Yisrael, which the Briska Rav compared to the request for a king, and his fear that Hashem will consent to it because of the consent of the majority of the Chachmei HaTorah at the Agudas Yisrael convention. So perhaps we can humbly suggest that in the Briska Rav's mindset, that's indeed why the Medina was founded, because there was a Kesher Tzaddikim, Hashem went with it, and he consented to it, and then founded the country, even if it was not meant to be so on an ideal level, but b'di'eved, Hashem consented. And I have a little bit of a proof to this from a personal reminisce from my great Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva of Keren B'Yavner, of Chaim Yaakov Goldberg Zatzal. I recall when I was living in Kew Garden Hills, I went to hear a shir from him that he was giving in the Young Israel there of Kew Garden Hills. The Rav was Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld, Zichron Lebracha. And Rabbi Goldwicht, after he gave a beautiful shir, so he was taking some questions and answers, and he happened to mention that his great Rebbe, the Briska Rav, he was also a student of the Chazon Ish as well, so the Briska Rav had mentioned after the Medina was already founded that the Medina is a Nisayon. It's a test from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we use it properly without denying Hashem and His will and His Hanagah and His Torah, Hashem will be with us. And if not, Chalila, the opposite. So to my mind, this is exactly the Briska Rav Lishitoso. That before the Medina, just as originally Shmuel Bishaito, when Klal Yisrael came to ask for a king, he fought against it, and he thought it was not the way to go. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu consented, and Shmuel and Avi realized that Klal Yisrael are not on the level to be zochet to better, and Hashem will guide them within that natural guise, so b'di'eved consented, so perhaps so too. The Briska Rav came to grips with the Medina after it was founded, seeing in it the Yad Hashem, and not as other Choshva rabbinic personalities have said, that it was a Maisa Satan, but the Briska Rav Lishitoso in other ways too, that no, it's certainly the Yad Hashem, and Hashem will guide us through that in a positive way if we follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, post-Medina, he called it a Nisayon from Hashem to see whether we will follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, similar to the words of Shmuel HaNavi in the Haftorah you read in Parshas Korach, that if you follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will be with you and your king. But before the Medina, much as Shmuel's objection in time, he was against. So, Bez Hashem, we hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to bless Medinas Yisrael and give it leaders who do follow the Torah's dictates, and to be Mashgiach al Am Yisrael Letova at Bias Gol Tzedek, when the true Malchus of Beis David will be reestablished. B'mehir b'yameinu amen.